Blog Talk Radio.
God, it's taking Kyle a while. It looks like he's late. That's exactly why, because I am late. If you feel like it's super late, it's because I am late, and I'm like trying to set shit up here behind the scenes. Yeah, but everything is somewhat in order now, somewhat taken care of. This might be the latest I've ever been. That was a 1:41 intro. I do think that breaks a secular talk record. And I have to say, so you remember the other day how I was talking about how I took I woke up and I accidentally took melatonin before I took a caffeine pill. Now usually at night I'll take a melatonin, the one you put under your tongue and then it melts, and in the morning I usually take a caffeine pill. And the other day, I woke up, took the melatonin by accident, and then had to spit that out and take a caffeine pill, and I was tired for the first however long, maybe like an hour. Today, I may have accidentally taken 2 caffeine pills. And in fact, judging based on how I feel, I'm going to go ahead and say yes, I did take 2 caffeine pills. Because I'm getting that like zippy, caffeine-y high feeling right now. As I was late, setting up everything for the show, I'm like, I catch myself in the middle of doing it, and I'm like, geez, I'm in a really good mood. Wow. Let me keep doing this. Oh, let me move this wire, and let me plug this thing in, and let me do this, and let me do that. Oh, yeah, and then I'm talking to the audience. Hey, everybody, how you doing? Oh, yeah, look at this chair. It goes far back. Shit. You. Wow, this chair. Quality chair, man. I got to tell you guys the brand of this chair if you ever want a chair. I don't know it off the top of my head. So I got a great show for you. We're going to talk a little bit about something good coming out of the Trump administration in terms of taxes. You'll never guess who in his administration behind the scenes is pushing in a progressive economic direction. And then later on in the show, we have so an absolute horror story coming out of Ohio where a carnival ride went wrong, and it's on tape. It's bad. The Democrats are also having some infighting now over their better deal, their economic deal. And I got a lot more, man. I got a story here on marijuana. You got Congress stuck in the year 1923. Trying to legislate. We got John McCain. We haven't done a show since John McCain pretended to be a hero, and in fact, he voted in the way that an idiot votes. So we'll talk about all that. Michelle Bachmann is back in the show. I mean, she is. Woo! I can't believe she was a congresswoman. Wait until you see what she had to say. And then we have exactly what different what the standard far-right Republican view is on health insurance. And President Trump continues to embarrass us. Wait until you hear what went on in a press conference. And forget about it, man. Forget about it. In fact, I got to go ahead and get started right now because, come on, who we kidding? We got such an awesome show ahead of us. All right, let's do it. Wait, I got to make sure the mic is good. It's a little low. I don't know why that microphone's low. Testing. What the fuck? Okay. I guess I'll have to do some stuff in post-production here to fix this microphone. This is what happens when you're running late. You don't get to do a proper sound test, but whatever. So the Democrats are arguing over their better deal agenda that they released this week. But the things that they're arguing over are quite interesting and very revealing as to how the Democratic Party is functioning in the year 2017. So let's take a look at this. They say Democrats say they're united behind their newly launched A Better Deal agenda, but they appear to be at odds over whether the where the platform is headed. Party leaders want to keep the focus exclusively on economic issues in hopes of engaging the working class voters who flocked to President Trump last year. But a number of Democrats are concerned that excluding liberal social issues like abortion rights, immigration reform, LGBT rights, and the environment may deflate their base and sink their chances of making big gains in 2018. Okay, so isn't that amazing? When I saw the headline that, oh, Democrats are having some infighting over their better deal proposals, I thought to myself, oh, damn, that means that some Democrats are going, come on, man, what are we doing? Why are we beating around the bush here? Why are we not just coming out and saying it? We should put in the platform Medicare for all, free college, end the wars. We should go all out in the direction that the polls show the American people want us to go in. I thought that that would be the fight, but no. The fight is some Democrats going, well, come on, we have to keep our base by saying, like, we don't think gays are evil, and immigrants aren't all murderers. So you see what's happening here, man? This is the Democratic Move 101, and this is the problem under neoliberals. What they do is they mask their backwards economic agenda and how corrupt they are by throwing the American people a bone on social issues. So in other words, as long as you don't pull a Trump and go out there and say, you know, immigrants, they're criminals, they're rapists, I assume some are good people. As long as you're not for, like, deporting every undocumented immigrant, and as long as you're not for treating gay people like second-class citizens and taking away their rights, well, then that's supposed to make the progressive base in their mind go, oh, thank you so much. You don't hate immigrants and you don't hate gay people. And you think women should have access to basic health care. You guys are so progressive. But what they do is, the Democrats, is they'll be on the right side of those issues because it's easy and there's no donors lined up against them on those issues. And then when it comes to Wall Street issues, when it comes to tax issues, when it comes to regulation, they slowly but surely creep in the direction of the Republicans. So this is the trick. You bring up identity politics, and you use that as a cover for getting away with your backwards economic agenda. So here's what I would say. The American people, we already know. We all know. Even the Democrats' enemies know. Hey, what do you guys stand for when it comes to women? What do you stand for when it comes to immigrants? Oh, really? You don't want to deport every undocumented immigrant? You don't want to ban abortion outright? Wow. Shocker. No, everybody knows. Everybody knows you're better on immigration issues. You're better on women's issues. You're better on gay rights issues. We have gay marriage. We have gay marriage. Right now, we have it. You're better on racial issues. I mean, we're talking about the Republican Party openly in favor of literally getting rid of the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act. The Supreme Court, you know, recently gutted certain provisions in the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act. So it's not like people don't know that the Democrats are like, hey, we disagree with that. Of course you disagree with that. Everybody knows you disagree with that. So it's not, you don't have to tell people what they already know about you. You have to tell people what they don't know about you. And what do they not know about you? They don't know what the fuck you stand for on economics, because it's not clear what you stand for on economics. And half the time you're agreeing with the Republicans and you're voting for more deregulation and you're voting to give more money to Wall Street and bail them out and do them favors and look out for your donors. So, yeah, it's amazing to me that, like, this is the same fucking thing over and over. It's not like Hillary wasn't out there talking about identity politics and talking about women's rights issues and immigrant rights issues and LGBTQ rights issues. She actually talked about those things plenty. But guess what? That's not enough to win the election, because people look at you and they go, yeah, we get it. The Democrats are better on those issues. They're more open-minded, and they're not looking to be totally backwards and draconian on those issues. We got it. But what the fuck else are you for? What happens is people start to think you're just using that as like a cover to be progressive on social issues where it doesn't matter, where you're not bucking your donors. And then on the areas where, you know, it comes to economics, you are going to sell out to your donors. So, and at a certain point, it really does just become a cover. It's a convenient excuse. It's like the Russia thing. The Democrats get to hammer Trump, bludgeon him over the head repeatedly without actually saying anything or doing anything. Like, okay, if you go out there and you talk and you rail against Trump's agenda and the Republicans' agenda when it comes to immigrants, it's good because you're on the right side of it, but you're just, where's the policy outcome and what are the policy goals? Don't be like Trump and want to deport all of them? Don't build a fucking useless wall? Wow, so fucking brave. Don't take access to abortion away from women? Yeah, duh, we got it. Everybody got it. Your base gets it. The centrist neoliberals get it. The people on the right wing get it. We know what you stand for on those issues. So there's no reason to bring up those issues. You need to bring up the issues where people don't know where you stand, and you need to bring them up and be on the correct side of those issues, and don't stop until everybody knows where you stand on those issues. So, but of course, no, they didn't bring up in their Better Deal platform. They didn't say free college. They didn't say Medicare for all. They didn't say end the wars, when these things are all overwhelmingly popular. So the debate they're having is not, hey, maybe we should do those things. The debate they're having is, well, we should bring up women and gays and immigration and stuff, right? People don't know where we stand on that. Everybody knows where you fucking stand on that. Everybody knows. People don't know where you stand on Medicare for all. They don't, because most of the party isn't in favor of it, and they should be. That's the problem. That's the fucking problem. The reason why I get so animated when we talk about stuff like this is because they just keep making the same mistakes over and over and over, the Democrats do. Did you learn nothing from Hillary Clinton? Her whole thing was Trump is evil, Trump is bad, Trump is wrong. So most of the campaign was that. And then you mix it in with platitudes and cliches that you couldn't read on a fucking fortune cookie. And then you sprinkle in the only time she spoke about real issues, she would speak about issues where people already know the Democrats stand, like social issues. I don't hate black people. I don't hate women. Oh, yes, you progressive fucking lying you. That's easy. When are you going to get to the hard stuff? That strategy did not work. But the Democrats are flirting with repeating it again. So we're seeing it in front of our eyes. We're seeing it unfold right in front of our eyes. The Russia stuff is what? Trump bad. He's bad. Russia. He's bad. Foreign agent, Kremlin puppet. I don't know. He's bad, right? Trump, Russia. That's part of it. They're doing the same things with the fucking cliches. A better deal. What the fuck is that? Tell me exactly what you're for. And now part of the party's going, oh, come on, man, we're going to lose our base. Talk about how we don't hate gay people and black people and women. That's what they think of the progressive base, that all of us just sit around all day and only think about identity politics. That we're all like, what are you? I'm a cis straight man. Well, I'm a genderqueer, blah, 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 blah. That's like the caricatured version of what the left is. The real conversations people are having on the left are about, hey, let's end fucking American imperialism, maybe. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Let's, I don't know, catch up to every other modern nation with our healthcare system. Catch up to Slovenia when it comes to college and do free college. I mean, there are real conversations happening on the left, but only the caricatured view and the social issues, identity politics stuff is the stuff that now the party's saying, well, we got to put that in the platform. Nobody's saying, oh, put Medicare for All in the platform. Well, actually, to be fair, Justice Democrats, of course, are. But all you're going to do is state the obvious if you want to bring up those issues, the social issues, and also make the same mistake you made with Hillary Clinton, where you get too wrapped up in identity politics, where you talk about it to the exclusion of economic issues, and that's when people come and say, you're out of touch, Democrats. You're out of touch. You're lecturing people about using the wrong gender pronoun as, you know, people are going bankrupt for medical bills. You think that's going to get more people to vote for you, especially since you lost the last election because of the Rust Belt? People in fucking former factory towns who got their jobs outsourced because of Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton supporting fucking NAFTA? It ain't going to work, man. So, come on, man. Democrats, what are you doing? What are you doing? But you know what? This is why we have Justice Democrats. I keep telling you guys that. You go read our platform. JusticeDemocrats.com/platform. Go read it. And you'll see exactly what we stand for. We're crystal clear about it. Again, it's not like we don't take a strong position on those social issues. Of course we do. But it's just a matter of where do you put your onus? Where do you put your focus? And you should put it on the things where people don't know what the fuck you stand for because the Democrats haven't stood for it. We already know you stand for good things on gay rights issues, on race issues, on immigration issues, on LGBTQ issues. We know that. We know that. But now tell me what I don't know about you. And with Justice Democrats, we tell you, hey, we're what the Democratic Party should have been all along if we continued focusing on New Deal-style policies. Next. Let me take a sip first of my drink. All right, let's go to this congressman who went on Morning Joe. Hot diggity damn, I got a lot of videos here. What in tarnation? Okay, I think I found it. Congressman Tim Ryan went on Morning Joe. He was asked the easiest question ever about who's the leader for the Democrats. Let's watch his answer.
You have vied for a leadership role in the Democratic Party, and right now it certainly seems to be, you know, confusing to figure out who is leading the Democratic Party. What do you see on the horizon for this party, and who do you see emerging as potential leaders?
It's a very polite way of saying that. I appreciate that. You know, we're clearly in a transition here coming off of President Obama. This happens periodically in politics. I don't think it's anything worth panicking over, but we have a lot of young leaders that are emerging. I clearly am trying to play my role in playing some form of leadership within the party, but we got guys like Seth Moulton and Hakeem Jeffries and Cedric Richmond down coming out of New Orleans. Linda Sanchez is in our House leadership out of California. So there are young leaders that are starting to emerge within our caucus and within our party. And over time, they're going to be on TV more, and people like them when they hear what they have to say. But it is a new generation of leadership.
It's like the Democrats are trying to lose. It's like they are trying to lose. That is, in a world that made sense, that is the easiest question ever. Hey, who do you consider the leader? Wouldn't you go with the most popular politician in the country, who's been the undisputed most popular politician in the country for at least 2 years? It's Bernie Sanders. When you poll people in their own state, so you ask people in each state, what do you think of your own senator? He wins by far and away. He gets like over 80% of people in Vermont say, yeah, we love him. So that means even right-wingers are like, yeah, no, we love him. So, by the way, Mitch McConnell is the least favorite, the most unpopular. So that's when you go state by state. When you go for the whole country and you just poll people across country, hey, who's your favorite senator? They say Bernie Sanders. Every time you do a head-to-head against Bernie Sanders and a Republican for a presidential race, Bernie Sanders wins and blows everybody away. Okay, you have a guy who is historically popular, and then forget about it. When you break down his policy positions and you poll on those individual issues, he's even more popular than when you just ask people, hey, do you support Bernie Sanders? So you have a guy, not only that, since the election, he has been working his ass off. He didn't fucking, lose to Trump and then go hide in the woods and then reappear to talk to promote your shitty fucking books about how you felt about your loss. No, he's been at Standing Rock. He's been across the country. He's been in fucking West Virginia and former factory towns, giving speeches, doing rallies, working with people. He's done, get this, people say, oh, unity, why don't we have unity? You guys need to unify, you damn leftists. Did you know Bernie Sanders has done more events for the DNC than any politician since the election? So he's done more work for the Democratic Party than Democrats. He keeps giving you an opportunity. He keeps giving you, hey, look, these are the things you need to be for, and people will love you. This is what you need to do. This is how you need to sell it. Follow this path. Who's the leader? Yeah, let me name fucking four people who nobody's heard of. No disrespect to those people, because I don't know, maybe some of them are good. But I don't fucking know who they are. I don't know who they are, and I follow politics for a goddamn living. So that's not a leader. That's not a leader. A leader is somebody, hey, who does everybody know who's out in front, who's pushing the agenda, and is at the head of the party? You can't make the case that any of those people are leaders because nobody fucking knows who they are. But you went with them instead of Bernie Sanders. Why? Because the Democratic Party can't help themselves. They view Bernie Sanders as out of bounds. Do you understand that? They view that as, no, that's not an option. In their minds, they say that's not an option. Why? Because he fundamentally changes the structure of how the Democratic Party must act going forward. If Bernie Sanders is the vision, if Bernie Sanders is the direction, what does that mean? No corporate money, no PAC money. And the Democrats think, we will lose forever if we take no corporate money and no PAC money. So that's just part of the game. That's part of the system. We have no choice. We have to take the money, and we have to do the bidding of our donors from time to time, because if we don't, it's what Barney Frank said. He said it to a TYT reporter. He said, wait, so what? You're saying we shouldn't even take 80% of the money? Like, what do you want to do? You want the Republicans to get all of the big bank money and Wall Street money? So in other words, he's setting it up. He's like, shouldn't we perpetually lose? Like, shouldn't we buy into the system that they want and then always do worse than them in that system and then perpetually lose? So the answer to that question, Barney Frank, is yes, I want them to take all the corporate money and you to take none of it. Why? Because they still don't get to this day how important a factor that is to the American people and how much that can rally people behind you. If you let them know your principle, if you say, we don't take money, corporate money, and we don't take PAC money, that alone is a huge benefit, is a huge plus, because then people know they're not beholden to donors, so they're beholden to who? The people. So yes, I want you to take no Wall Street money, you doofus. Of course I want you to take no Wall Street money. But the rest of the party doesn't get it. They view it as like a necessary evil. Nancy Pelosi's statement the other day on this. She said, oh, you can't get rid of me in leadership. I'm a great fundraiser. So she's saying, I sell out the most, so you can't get rid of me in leadership. That's what she's arguing effectively. I sell out more than anybody else, so you can't get rid of me because I can raise more money because I'm the biggest sellout. And then she went on to say in that same statement, unfortunately. Unfortunately, that's the system we have, but in this system, I'm the best. So in other words, you know deep down, oh, this is fucked up that I'm taking all this billionaire money, corporate money, PAC money, and then I'm doing their bidding. So Bernie Sanders comes along and goes, no, you don't have to do it like that. You don't have to do it like that. You could do it like this. You could raise in small amounts from a lot of people, do grassroots funding, and hit people over the head, hit the Republicans over the head with the fact that you're not corrupt, and they are. And then you can win. And then you're the most popular politician in the goddamn country. And they go, no, thank you. Who's the leader? I don't know, Senator Fuckface McDickington over here. Fuckface McDickington. Oh. Oh, man. Again, no offense to Fuckface McDickington, because I don't know them. But that's the point, is I don't know them. And if I don't know them, other people fucking know them? What percentage of people know any of the people he just named? What percentage of people know him? So, no, if it's a leader, you go with the most popular politician who has been leading, Bernie Sanders, but they don't answer him because they can't answer him because it threatens how they do business. Well, guess what? The future of the party is to revamp it completely and go the Justice Democrats model. If you don't go the Justice Democrats model, you are irrelevant. You're not going to fool anybody anymore, you idiot. You're not going to fool anybody. Progressives aren't going to fall in line. That should have been clear when you lost to Donald goddamn Trump. So the answer is go progressive, go populist left, go principled, or lose. JusticeDemocrats.com/fight. Let's get the Justice Democrats, give them the edge here, and let's beat corporate Joe Manchin. Let's beat corrupt Joe Crowley. Let's beat all these corporate Democrats and show them that the future of the party is principled, no corporate money, no PAC money, and they're people who stand for real things like Medicare for all, free college, ending the wars, and a living wage. Okay. All right, now let's go to Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon, what? So is this got to be a bad story, right? Because it's fucking Steve Bannon. You know, this guy's a racist scumbag. I don't use that term lightly, but it is fucking true. All right, here we go. I have a pleasant surprise for everybody here. Take a look at this. Steve Bannon pushing for 44% marginal tax rate on the very rich. What? What on earth? What is this? All right, let's see. Top White House advisor Steve Bannon is pushing for tax reform to include a new 44% top marginal tax rate, hitting people who earn more than $5 million a year, with the revenue paying for tax cuts for the rest, according to three people who've spoken to him recently. The top rate is now 39.6%, and most Republicans have been planning to lower it significantly as part of tax reform. The plan Trump put out previously would have only three brackets, with the top one brought down to 35%. Okay, Now, this means that just like on trade issues, you have one person in the Trump administration who's going, yeah, let's not be total and complete douchebags. So Steve Bannon, for those of you who don't know, on social issues, he's as bad as it gets. I mean, he's almost openly racist. Like, there's a, what's the name of that book again? There's this book that he apparently loves, and it's like a neo-Nazi book. They talk about how the immigrants are coming and they're destroying Europe, and the person who's the evil character is this immigrant who literally eats feces, and it's like marauding brown people who are coming for the good angelic people of Europe or whatever. I don't remember the name right now, but it might hit me at some point. But it's not just that. Let's be clear. It's not just that he likes that incredibly shitty book. It's that March of the Saints, is that what it's called? I don't fucking know. Yeah, I don't know. If I remember, I'll put it at the bottom of the screen or something. It's also just his policies. I mean, everybody knows Steve Bannon is the guy who, in a conversation with Trump, he said, Trump said, oh, yeah, high-skilled immigrants? Well, of course we should have high-skilled immigrants. I mean, if they're high-skilled and they're doing work and it's, like, really productive work, why wouldn't you want high-skilled immigrants? And then Steve Bannon, this was back during the campaign, early on in the campaign, Steve Bannon, I guess, was doing a radio show or something for Breitbart, and he said, well, look, it's not just about, like, productivity and work. It's you're creating a civilization. You're creating a society, and do we really want these kinds of people in here? So in other words, hey, dude, they're brown. I don't like brown people. Have I made that clear? That's Steve Bannon. That's his position. So he's bad in so many ways. But there's a few issues, economic issues, where he bucks the trend. And he's like, he's kind of like an old-school Pat Buchanan-type character. Pat Buchanan, obviously pretty openly racist as well, but he was one of the guys who's like, don't do NAFTA. Don't fucking do NAFTA. If you do NAFTA, we're going to lose a lot of decent-paying American jobs. It's going to be horrible, and, you know, it's going to be a race to the bottom in terms of wages in this country. We're going to make ourselves poorer. We're going to destroy the middle class. He says the same thing. Bannon says the same thing about trade. He wants to bring back tariffs. He wants to make sure we keep jobs here. Now, so on that narrow area, he agrees with progressives. There's another area where he agrees with progressives. Now, admittedly, progressives probably want to go higher for that top marginal rate. But the fact that somebody in the Trump administration is talking about trying to raise the top marginal rate, that's wild. I did not see that coming. So, as they said, right now the top rate is 39.6%. He wants to push it to 44% on the top marginal bracket, and that's for people making $5 million a year or more. That would raise $180 billion in revenue over 10 years, which is nothing to scoff at right there. But here's my prediction. It ain't going to happen. Here's why it's not going to happen. Trump isn't going to listen to him. And the reason why he's not going to listen to him is he's got 37 other people in the administration pulling him in the other direction. It's actually the same thing. It's the same thing with Bannon on foreign policy. Bannon is a non-interventionist on foreign policy. He doesn't agree with the neocons. He thinks they're globalists and, you know, they want to invade everywhere, topple every government, run the world, have an empire, but we crumble here at home while that happens. So Bannon was pushing, no, don't go into Syria. Don't escalate the wars. And Trump's like, yeah, brush you aside. I'm going to listen to the generals, and I'm going to listen to the neocons in the deep state who say we should escalate in Syria, we should escalate in Afghanistan and Iraq, and we should get more entangled all around the world. So Bannon didn't win on foreign policy, and I don't think Bannon's going to win on this either. He didn't even win on TPP, because even though Trump said no TPP, now with the renegotiation of NAFTA that's going on, he's slipping in provisions from the TPP into the new NAFTA that they're working on. So I don't think Bannon's going to win this fight behind the scenes. I think Gary Cohn, Goldman Sachs guy, Steve Mnuchin, Goldman Sachs guy. So you got the Treasury Secretary is Mnuchin, top economic advisor is Gary Cohn. You have multiple Goldman Sachs guys there who all they want to do is cut taxes on the rich. That's the whole point of them being there. And then furthermore, let's say for a second Bannon did win on this front, which is not going to happen. If Bannon won on that front, they would just make up for it in a different way, cut taxes for the rich in a different way. So, for example, they could do repatriation, allow trillions of dollars that corporations have shoved overseas to avoid taxes, allow that back into the country, and cut their tax rate gigantically to get them to bring it back in the country. Say, okay, we know you're supposed to pay 35% on that, but what if you only pay 7%? So that's another thing they could do. They could just cut the corporate tax rate, which I think even Bannon is in favor of, but obviously the rest of Trump's team is in favor of, which is mental because right now corporations pay a historically low low percentage of the tax burden. So that's all shifted onto the middle class. So they say, oh, yeah, we're trying to do tax relief for the middle class. I guarantee you that when you look into the details at the end of it, that's not the case. In fact, the tax plan that Trump already proposed, when you break down the numbers on that, it gives people making about $30,000 and less, which is over half the country, by the way, it gives them $40 more a year in a tax cut. For the rich, I think it's the top 1%, they all get, or top maybe 0.01% or so, they all get $940,000 more every year. So it's a ruse. It's really a tax cut geared specifically for the rich. So it's good that Bannon's pushing for these things behind the scenes. And I think Breitbart gave this favorable coverage too, the 44% tax rate on the rich. But I don't think he's going to win out because he's the only one that's arguing for that. And everybody else is saying, oh, no, Mr. President, it's going to hurt the economy. You're going to lose jobs. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And most importantly, you'd never be able to get that through Congress and the Senate. There's no way ever that House Republicans and Senate Republicans would say, yeah, let's raise taxes on the rich. So it's nice he's pushing for it, but it ain't going to happen. Okay. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Trump did a rally in Ohio, and he said some of the dumbest things you've ever heard, and he announces a new policy on transgender people, which is hideous. All right, stay right there, guys. We will be right back.
Come meet me in the girls, what kind of cool, but the left, the left. I feel like I'm the left, real nigga left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left. Please don't make me snap you with the left, the left. You will face a wound, don't drop you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the left, real nigga left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left. This shit go left, cause I can cook a kilo by my goddamn self. In the kitchen, water whipping with the left. I don't know red man, but I know who got the melt. I feel like I'm a one man being melt.
Son of a bitch.
All right, buddy.
Let's keep going. By the way, I am convinced now that I accidentally took two caffeine pills instead of one. Why do I say that? I'm super awake. So I'm pretty sure that's a sign of caffeine use. All right. Let's go to Trump's rally. All right, this one has a clip too. One that I think everybody's going to enjoy. Trump did a rally in Ohio a few nights ago, and he gave us this uber Trumpian moment.
Political correctness for me is easy. Sometimes they say he doesn't act presidential. And I say, hey, look, great schools, smart guy. It's so easy to act presidential, but that's not going to get it done. In fact, I said, it's much easier, by the way, to act presidential than what we're doing here tonight, believe me. And I said, with the exception of the late, great Abraham Lincoln, I can be more presidential than any president that's ever held this office, that I can tell you. It's really easy.
Yeah, no, he's like a WWE character. That's what he is. I mean, he was on WWE back in the day, you see why. I mean, that's unreal. Yeah, I'm like Lincoln. I'm the best since Lincoln, and that's, I mean, look at me. I mean, with the exception of the great Abraham Lincoln, I mean, I'm tremendous. Let me just tell you. Okay, and then also just follow the logic of that for a second, because he contradicts himself in under a minute. So he starts out by saying, presidential, everybody says you need to be presidential. I'm a smart guy, good guy, went to great schools. They say you got to be presidential. Well, let me tell you, being presidential is a lot easier than what we're doing here tonight. So you got to be non-presidential to get things done sometimes. He says that, and then he goes right to, but when it comes to being presidential, I can be the most presidential. The only one who's not, who's better is Lincoln. I'm the best since Lincoln.
So wait, which is it? You just said being not presidential is a good thing because you get things done, and then you said you're the most presidential since Lincoln. So that... But that's such a classic Trump. He contradicts himself, but somehow manages to do it in a way where people don't spot the contradiction. Like, you have to, when you listen to Trump, you have to, like, almost map it out, like, plot it. So what's the first point he's making? Okay, being presidential is bad. People say I'm not presidential, but that's okay because being presidential is bad. You got to be non-presidential to get things done. And then the very next point is Lincoln was the most presidential, but I'm the most presidential since him. So that means, but you just said that being presidential was not good, and that's why you're not presidential. And now you're saying you are presidential, and you're the best since Lincoln. God damn it, man! You know, he did this on the campaign trail, so I don't know why I get so frustrated about it. But, you know, for foreign policy, for example, what would he do?
ISIS, we're going to bomb the shit out of them. That's what we're going to do. We're going to bomb the shit out of them. We're going to take out their families. That's what I say. You don't just kill ISIS. You take out their families. You take out their families.
That is the most insane, crazy, hawkish shit ever. we're going to bomb the shit out of them. That's your strategy. Bomb the shit out of them. I don't know. Just blow shit up. Whatever. Take out their families. Kill civilians. Indiscriminately bomb. Carpet bomb. Tremendous. Believe me. So he made that argument. But at the same time, he would argue, oh, Crooked Hillary did the Iraq War. The Iraq War was a waste of money. It was unnecessary. Why are we doing all these wars? These wars are so stupid. We should just spend the money here at home. There's no reason. Why are we going to Afghanistan? Why are we going to Iraq? Sad. Sad. Spend the money here at home. Rebuild the infrastructure. He would say both those things in the span of a fucking week. And very few people went, hey, man, you said both things. What the fuck is your position?
I say we should bomb the shit out of them, but we should stay home and rebuild here at home and not do wars and stuff.
Which is it? Which is it? Which is it? Which is it? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. There it is. Donald Trump. That's one of the most Trumpian moments I've ever seen.
I'm not presidential, because being president, you don't get anything done if you're presidential. You got to be not presidential. Let me tell you, I'm the most presidential since Lincoln. Believe me.
Now we move on to the trans issue. President Trump made a big policy announcement on Twitter yesterday. Look at this. After consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. Thank you. Wow. So he just casually, in a random tweet, he's like, yeah, we're done with having transgender people in the military. Just forget it. We're not allowing them in the military. Damn. Remember when Trump said, he said it on the campaign trail. During his fucking RNC speech, he said, we will, like, protect, we'll be the most pro-LGBTQ administration in history. I'm not kidding. He made that argument. But now look at what he's doing. Okay, so you might go, well, come on, there's probably no transgender people in the military anyway. Actually, there's anywhere from 6,500 to 15,500 trans people already serving in the military. I know there's a pretty big range there. I think one number is from RAND and one number, I don't know if it's from the military themselves or whatever it is, but 6,500 to 15,500 trans people serving in the military. Now, in terms of the cost, because that's the argument,
oh, the cost. Because we got to focus on overwhelming and decisive victory. We can't have, you can't have gender questions when that's going on.
Well, RAND estimates that, get this, only 30 to 140 people seek hormone treatments per year who are transgender people and in the military. And only 25 to 130 seek gender transition-related surgeries. So that amounts to about 0.04 to 0.13% of the Defense Department's total health care spending. Not 0.04, 0.13% of the Defense Department's spending, of the Defense Department's total health care spending. So we're talking like 0.00000001% of the money that's allocated for the military.
Too expensive. Can't do it. Too expensive. Can't do it.
You know what costs more than that? How about Viagra? Viagra and Cialis, so erectile dysfunction pills, cost the Department of Defense over $80 million a year. All the treatment for all transgender people in the military, way less than that. So this is nonsense. And then furthermore, you want to talk about waste. How about the new F-35? That thing costs at least $1.5 trillion. You heard, with a T. $1.5 trillion. And people are saying it's a mistake. It's a mistake because it doesn't fly as well as the other one and it's not done right. And $1.5 trillion? And it doesn't even fucking fly right. Oh my God, that's the most embarrassing thing I've ever heard in my entire life. That is the saddest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. But no, let's not talk about that. But let's talk about trans people serving the country, and yeah, let's just kick them out. Just get rid of them. Now, a lot of people, by the way, just to address this point real quick, because a lot of people on the left are like, look, man, imperialism is imperialism. So I don't give a fuck if you're genderqueer and you're killing innocent people. That's terrible. So what, you want me to be a progressive and rally to your side? Well, no, you, like, what you're doing is wrong. I've always been of the belief, though, that I blame the politicians for making the decisions to send the military off to fight places. They literally don't have a say in where they go. So it's not like there's a lesser level of culpability among the troops than there is among the politicians who are making the decisions to send these troops into these dumb, horrific wars. So, yeah, I think that's an apples and oranges conversation. It's like, okay, we could be against literally any war you want to be against, but at the same time, you should understand that, yeah, that doesn't mean like it would be okay if the military decides to ban black people, or if they decide to ban gay people or trans people. But that's what this is. It's an outright trans ban. I mean, can you imagine if they came out and said, just gay people, we're just going to ban all gay people from the military, or we're going to ban all black people, or we're going to ban all women. Here's the way it should work. If you can meet the physical requirements, so if you can get through whatever testing that everybody has to go through, you should be allowed in. Full stop. That's it. Oh, you were able to meet the requirements? You're in. That's it. You're in. And they always talk about, oh, the military is not a place for social experiments. That's what you're doing. This is a fucking social experiment. We're going to ban people who we don't like based on arbitrary characteristics. So you're the one who's doing the fucking social experiment. It's not a social experiment to say, oh, you met the requirements. We're going to let you in. That's not a social experiment. That's standard operating procedure. And by the way, that is the same argument that was fucking made when they didn't have black people in the military. Oh, this isn't the place for social experiments. We're going to allow black people in here? That's crazy. So that's not a good argument. You sound fucking stupid when you make that argument. If you can meet the requirements, the physical requirements to get in, then you should be allowed in. That's it. But there we go. Oh, and by the way, why is he doing this? Why is he doing this? You might say, this is weird. What a random fucking time to do this. Two reasons. Number one, Fox News. He watches it all the time, and they were doing segments recently on trans people in the military. So he's watching it. He's going, yeah, I agree. Now ban them. I'm going to ban them. Banned. Banned. And then the other part is, he's getting so much bad press in so many other areas. The disaster of the health care bill, you know, the pile-on with the Russia, 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 which I don't agree with, but he's getting bad press across the board with stuff like that. So what do you do when you're tanking in the polls and you're losing support so fast and your agenda is stalled? Do what any authoritarian leader would do. Pander to the base. So the right-wing base in this case. So this actually, Putin does this all the time, where, oh, shit, you know, I'm struggling or something bad happened. Well, let me go to the Orthodox Church and you pander to them, and then you shore up the base support. So this gets the evangelical Christian fundamentalists, who were already on his side big time, this rallies them even more to his side. And so he can shore up a certain portion of his support as he loses other people who supported him tepidly or otherwise. So there we are, man. This is where we are. Just president randomly tweeting, yeah, we're done with trans people in the military. Arguments make no sense. It's a dumb move. It's a bigoted move. But that's the direction he's going in.
Okay.
All right, you know what? Let me take the last break now, and then when we come back, I'll have a bunch of great stuff for you. John McCain flew into D.C., even though he's sick with a rare form of brain cancer. And I'm gonna play you some of his speech there, and then also we're gonna talk about how DC is stuck in the year 1923 on the issue of drug use. So stay right there, guys. We'll be right back with all that and more.
Thank you.
the left, the left. You will fake so I'm gon' drop you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the lecturer, nigga, left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself.
Welcome back, everybody.
Please don't make me snap you with the left, the left. You will fake so I'm...
All right, I got a lot to get to. So, let's go to John McCain's speech. A few days ago, Senator John McCain flew into D.C. even though he's sick with an aggressive form of brain cancer and he was receiving treatment in Arizona. And he casted one of the deciding votes on advancing Trump care. So let's watch part of his speech here and then we'll discuss.
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them. They don't want anything done for the public good. Our incapacity is their livelihood. Let's trust each other. Let's return to regular order. We've been spinning our wheels on too many important issues because we keep trying to find a way to win without help from across the aisle. That's an approach that's been employed by both sides, mandating legislation from the top down without any support from the other side, with all the parliamentary maneuvers that requires. We're getting nothing done, my friends. We're getting nothing done. Why don't we try the old way of legislating in the Senate? The way our rules and customs encourage us to act. If this process ends in failure, which seems likely, then let's return to regular order. More people are free, have lived free and prosperous lives here than in any other nation. We've acquired unprecedented wealth and power because of our governing principles and because our government defended those principles. America has made a greater contribution than any other nation to an international order that has liberated more people from tyranny and poverty than ever before in history. We have been the greatest example, the greatest supporter, and the greatest defender of that order. We aren't afraid. We don't covet other people's land and wealth. We don't hide behind walls. We breach them. We are a blessing to humanity. What greater cause could we hope to serve than helping keep America the strong, aspiring, inspirational beacon of liberty and defender of the dignity of all human beings and their right to freedom and equal justice?
Yeah. That was terrible. So the amazing thing is the reality of the speech versus the portrayal of it in corporate media. I've never seen a more fawning take on something than the corporate media's response to this John McCain speech. Because it's like he gets to portray himself as a maverick while doing the wrong thing. So he voted to advance Trump care and allow debate on it. Now, why is that a bad idea? Well, it's a bad idea because at the time they literally didn't even know what they were advancing. There's like four versions of Trump care. They didn't know which one they're voting to advance. They didn't have any committee hearings. So he keeps lecturing about we need to follow a proper order and the procedure. That's what we need to do. But they didn't do that. You didn't do that for this bill. So you're voting to advance a bill that you didn't follow proper procedure on as you lecture people about doing the proper procedure. John, that makes no sense. That's a giant fucking contradiction. But the media ignored that part completely. They didn't say anything about that. Of course, they're all wrapped up in the emotion of it, which is a guy who has an aggressive form of brain cancer taking a flight and making the vote. But he voted the wrong way, even according to his own principles, which he's laying out there for you. Now, furthermore, the meat of this speech is just vacuous nonsense. Now, again, the mainstream media won't tell you that because the mainstream media, anything that you call bipartisan, they fucking fawn over. They salivate. They get hard over it. Like, oh, bipartisanship. Oh, bipartisanship. The honorable gentlemen in Washington working together for the common good. Yes, it's the best of America, I must say. Every time the Democrats and Republicans work together, it's amazing. But that's not true. That is not true. Usually when Democrats and Republicans agree on something, it's horrendous. It's terrible. It's them agreeing to help their corporate donors and screw over the American people, or them agreeing to be massively hawkish, putting new sanctions on Iran, for example, which they just did in a bipartisan way recently, which violates the fucking Iran deal and is going to blow up our opportunities for peace in the Middle East. So, no, there's nothing inherently good about bipartisanship. They need to agree in a bipartisan way on things that make sense, which they rarely fucking do. Which is why Congress has an approval rating of like 9%. But somehow the people who have a 9% popularity rating, the media fawns over it when they agree with each other, and the American public's like, we don't agree with the decisions they're making. God, the media is so stupid. Okay, now, let's go through some of the stuff he says. He said, don't listen to the bombastic loudmouths on the internet and on TV. They don't want anything done for the public good. Oh, really? Oh, really? At least people who are bombastic loudmouths on TV and the internet, at least some of them in the radio, at least some of them actually have an ideology and a philosophical position, agree or disagree with them, whereas the people in Washington are mostly corporate sellouts, and you're doing the bidding of the corporations, and you don't have principled positions on one thing or another thing. What's your fucking position on this, John McCain? This isn't principled. How is this principled? Follow proper procedure. That's what we need to do. Anyway, we didn't follow it on this bill. I'm voting to advance it. And then, there you go. Let's trust each other and work together. This is what he said. Let's trust each other. No, we don't have a government based on trust. We have a government based on checks and balances.
Let's trust each other and work together. Yes, Democrats and Republicans should work together and agree on things that we do, and wouldn't that be amazing?
Not if all the decisions you're making are bad decisions, which they are. And then the end is just the red meat to the corporate media and the elites in the country.
We have a free, prosperous country. America made a greater contribution to the world than any other nation ever. We are a blessing to the world. That's what he said. We are a blessing to the world.
Who says that? Like, why do we suck our own dicks so fucking much? Like, that's fucking crazy that you're out there saying that. When, look, I'm not trying to leave America. I like the country. But that doesn't mean that we didn't do slavery and the fucking Native American genocide, and we didn't just do the war in Iraq, which killed minimum 200,000 civilians. We set up a worldwide torture regime. We have Guantanamo Bay, which is an extrajudicial prison. We're violating our own constitution. We have 7 different wars going on right now. Vietnam, the war that John McCain fought in. There were the Pentagon Papers, which proved that we were using Agent Orange and napalm on these innocent fucking villagers and massacring women and children. Why the fuck? We're top allies with Saudi fucking Arabia right now. One of the least free countries in the world, and this idiot goes up there and says, of freedom, freedom and democracy, we've liberated so many people, which is why we keep giving Saudi Arabia money so they can have an iron grip of control on their country and be tyrants. It's just not true. What he's saying is not correct. It is not accurate. But it doesn't matter, because the media, neutrality, we love neutrality, therefore we love bipartisanship. So bipartisanship is awesome, and John McCain says, let's work together. And, oh, yes, we love, jerking ourselves off, too. So America, free, prosperous, we made the best contributions to the world. We are a blessing to the world. This isn't like a fucking maverick speech. This is a guy who's blowing smoke up everybody's ass, doing cliches and platitudes, and at the same time he's doing that, he's voting the wrong way. Let's follow procedure. Anyway, let's not follow procedure, and I will advance the bill that we didn't have any hearings on, and that we don't even know which fucking bill we're voting on. So it is a giant contradiction, John McCain. It is a giant contradiction. And by the way, Nate Silver, of all people, pointed out something interesting about this. He said the generational divide in how people viewed that speech was huge. So in other words, older people looked at that and they went, oh, John McCain! Oh, John McCain, he's so great, he's so wonderful, he's so bipartisan, he's such a maverick. And they heaped praise on it. Whereas the younger generation, virtually across the board, it was like, that's some bullshit. How are you going to rant against in favor of following standard procedure, and then you're not in favor of standard procedure. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. The fuck are you talking about, John? What are you talking about? Look, I hope the guy gets better. Of course, of course, of course. You know, he has an aggressive form of brain cancer. He's going to fight it now. So I send my best wishes to John McCain for his health. But that doesn't mean that every point he makes from here on out is good. That doesn't mean he's by definition a maverick. That doesn't mean his vote was correct here. That doesn't mean his speech was good. Sorry. Not really sorry. Okay, now, let's move on here and discuss the issue of marijuana. So I just wanted to give everybody a quick reminder that Washington, D.C. is stuck in the year 1924 on the issue of drugs. House blocks bill that would allow VA doctors to discuss and recommend medical marijuana to veterans. Okay, think about that. They block a bill that would allow VA doctors to discuss and recommend medical marijuana to veterans. Medical. Now, look, man, you guys know marijuana is not a drug I particularly like. It's just that just doesn't, for whatever reason, doesn't fit with my brain chemistry or whatever. But that doesn't mean that's the case for everybody. In fact, I know it's not the case for everybody. The evidence is overwhelming that it helps a tremendous amount of people. So there are a lot of veterans who have serious issues. Maybe they're addicted to Xanax or, you know, the benzo class of drugs. And that could be a problem because withdrawal from that is serious. You could die from withdrawal from those drugs. Maybe they're addicted to painkillers. A lot of people are addicted to painkillers. You know, many people, let's be clear, many people who use it don't have an addiction problem, and it works, helps them just fine. But there are some people who are addicted to it. You know, marijuana is something that could take veterans off of these more dangerous drugs, regardless of what your opinion is on those drugs. There's no denying that they're more dangerous in terms of the effects of withdrawal. So we have an opportunity here to take people off of those drugs and put them onto something that's less harmful that they may even like more. Certain people probably like that more for pain relief, for depression relief, for anxiety relief, for a variety of things, PTSD. They go, no, we're not even going to allow VA doctors to discuss and recommend medical marijuana to veterans. What in the fuck are we? Not only should they be allowed to take it for medical reasons, they should be allowed to have it for recreational reasons. They should be allowed to have it for any reason or non-reason that they want. How we have a body that is just so massively out of touch. I mean, 60% of the American people want to legalize marijuana at a federal level. 60%! And that the House Republicans just blocked a bill to allow VA doctors to discuss medical marijuana for veterans. Medical marijuana. So you go fight and maybe die, potentially die, for this country that we say is upholding freedom around the world. And then when you come back and say, do I have the freedom to have this thing that might cure my illness? They go, no, you don't. You just told me I was fighting for freedom overseas. You just told me that. You just fucking told me that. I went and I fought for freedom and I come back and you go, you're not free to have that. This can't last, man. This can't last. I know. Big pharma and the alcohol industry and the tobacco industry, they funnel tons of money into the government to try to keep the status quo as is. I know. I know the DEA is against making any changes to the drug laws because then they lose their jobs. But guess what? Changes are coming. Because the entire millennial generation and younger, they don't think like these dinosaurs do. They think like we do. And we say, what the fuck are you doing? So the time's running out for these clowns, because there's going to be a whole new wave, younger people, that they'll get elected, and we have unanimous feelings about this. 60% of the country wants to legalize marijuana. I don't even know what the number is for millennials, but it's probably above 70%. So, TikTok, your time's running out, and that's a good thing. Okay. All right, let's go to an embarrassing Trump moment. President Trump held a joint press conference with the leader of Lebanon, and he had a classic Trump moment. Look at this. This is from Joyce Karam. Trump says Lebanon is on the front line of fighting ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and Hezbollah. What? And then she says Hezbollah's in the government of Lebanon. Okay. I can't believe he said that, man. I can't believe he said that. How do you not know that? That's like saying, oh, Palestinians, you're on the front lines of fighting ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and Hamas. I'm like, wait, what? No, that doesn't make sense. The Hamas one doesn't fit with the rest. But that's, like, he doesn't know. He just doesn't know these things. By the way, look at the picture of the leader of Lebanon in that picture there. Look at his face. Look at his fucking face. That's when Trump said, fighting ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and Hezbollah. Look at his fucking face. That's unbelievable. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, Hezbollah is fighting ISIS and Al-Qaeda. So when you lump them all in together, that's the dumbest thing ever. That's as dumb as it gets. I mean, they are literally on the front lines fighting ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Hezbollah is, some of them are in Syria as well, fighting the Syrian rebels, including the jihadists, ISIS, Al-Qaeda. So there's no, they just try to lump it all in. Why do they try to lump it all in? Because in the case of Hezbollah, Israel feels threatened by Hezbollah. Israel's one of our top allies. So we just lump in Hezbollah with ISIS and Al-Qaeda, even though that makes no goddamn sense. It makes none whatsoever. So, but that's fucking embarrassing, man. I mean, Trump famously said during the campaign trail, he was on, I think it was Hugh Hewitt's radio show, and he was asked about the difference between Hamas and Hezbollah. He didn't know the difference. He had no idea. And he said, look, believe me, you got to come back to me. And then when I'm in there, I'll know it. I'll know the difference so well. I'll know it better than anybody. It'll make your head spin. Well, now he's president. He still doesn't know that he doesn't know what Hezbollah is. Guys, understand, if you don't know it, that's fine. You're not the fucking president. He's president. It's not, this isn't hard for a president. That's something that's like, you have to know that if you're fucking president. There were some signs he didn't even know the difference between Sunni and Shia. He didn't know. You know, and there's a lot of Republican congressmen and senators who you're like, excuse you? Like, they'll make comments about how, like, Iran is working with ISIS or something. Huh? There are some people who really think that, who have positions of power in the U.S. Ignorance. It's just deep, profound ignorance. I would be embarrassed. If I was one of these guys, I'd be embarrassed, man, to be in this situation. Nonetheless, here we are. Okay. All right, let's go to Michelle Bachmann. Oh no, where's my Michelle Bachmann thingy? Oh, I got it, okay. Michelle Bachmann was on a Christian radio show, and she went on a fawning rant about President Trump and his religiosity. Let's watch.
and he is unashamed in standing up for increasing an awareness of God in the United States. He recognizes how important that is and that that is a basis of Western civilization. I am so happily surprised by what I've seen in the Trump administration. I'm so glad for this opportunity today because I'm not here as like a Trump cheerleader. That's not what I'm about. But what I'm here to say as a believer in Jesus Christ, I could not be more happy with what I am seeing coming out of the Trump White House. This is like beyond my wildest expectations.
Well, you told me there are actually 13 true Bible believers in his cabinet. You've told me that there are regular prayer meetings going on in the White House, the House, the Senate, and contrast that to the previous 8 years where folks were tripping over Muslim prayer rugs in the White House. So this is kind of a new day.
There are prayer meetings, there are Bible studies that are ongoing, and the president himself is a man of prayer and a man who loves to receive prayer. He is happy to receive prayer, but more important than anything, he is a man who I do believe understands who the God of the Bible is, and he wants to lift up the God of the Bible here in the United States. He, again, understands that is the foundation, that is the underpinning, not only of the United States, but of Western civilization itself. The Lord is working mightily in our government.
Oh, man. That legitimately sounds like the American Taliban, the Christian Taliban. The entire time I hear, Allahu Akbar! That's what I hear her saying as she talks. No, the Bible is not the foundation of Western civilization. That's just not correct. The United States is a secular government. We're not a Christian theocracy. We are secular. There's a separation of church and state. So get that out of your head. It is not true. It's not even close to true. Many of the founders were deists, which means they believe in a God, but not even the God of any particular religion or denomination. They say, I don't know, I guess there's a God. So, man, they just get everything dead wrong. Oh, it's foundation of Western civilization. God is in our government. Can you imagine, like, being Michelle Bachmann or one of these people who really believes this stuff? Like, you're looking for signs probably everywhere. Ooh, that cloud is somewhat in the shape of the Virgin Mary or something, so... Ooh, today's a day that God is shining down on Wisconsin or something. Like, what the fuck? They said, I hear there's actually 13 true Bible believers in the administration. That's her criteria. What's a good president? Do we have any Bible literalists in there? Is he surrounded by Bible literalists? Okay, he's a good one. Can you imagine, take out the Bible, put in Quran? Do we have Quran literalists in there? Oh, we do. We have people who believe that the Quran is literally correct. Good. Wonderful. Then we have a good system. That's like what they'd say in, like, Saudi Arabia. You know? Like, oh, wait. Do the leaders believe in the Quran, that it is literal? Oh, yes. Okay. All right. We're good. We're good. Don't worry, guys. Everything's under control. And then you heard what they said about Obama? They're tripping over Muslim prayer rugs under Obama. And then also, let's just note the irony that these guys are uber Christian, but like all the happy parts of the Bible, and there's good parts and there's bad parts. There's slavery and genocide and horrific shit. But all the happy parts, they're like, yeah, that part doesn't count. Wait, what? Yeah, we're Bible literalists, but the parts that are literally really like open-minded and happy and loving and about helping poor people, we don't like that part. So Trump's up there, like, let's cut taxes on the rich. How's that sound? That sounds good, right? Yeah, let's do that. Let's bomb innocent people overseas. Think about the fact Trump's first military act as president, he approved a raid that killed at least 30 civilians and an 8-year-old American girl. Here's a thought, Michelle. Would Jesus have approved that raid? It doesn't matter. So he's surrounded by Bible believers, 13 true Bible believers. That's a good thing. Like, this is her how she grades presidents. Oh, that one only had 9 true Bible believers in the administration. You're not doing as well, buddy. I mean, like, what do you think? I don't know. Are you doing things that help people? You know, are you increasing the minimum wage? Are you ending wars? Or like, what are you doing? She's like, substantive issues. Fuck all that. Tell me if you believe the Bible's literally true. Did you get to the part about how men should castrate themselves and live sexless lives? That's a good part, right? Isn't that a great part? Did you get the part where a daughter has sex with her father because she wants a baby from her father? Did you get to that part? Did you get to the part where God is committing genocide all over the place? Did you get to that? Did you get to the part where Jesus sounds like a Marxist before Marxism existed? Did you get to that part? Isn't that great? No, no, I don't like any of it, and none of it's true. What the fuck are you doing? Okay. Final story of the day. This one is scary. I don't like this one. One person is dead, at least one person is dead, and seven people are injured in an accident at the Ohio State Fair. They were on a ride called the Fireball, and this happened. Warning, I don't know, this, when I looked at this, it affected me, where I was like, oh man, I really wish I didn't watch that, but I don't know. If you guys can stomach it, here you go. Here's the video of what happened. Yeah, that's like one of the things that you have, like, in your worst nightmare, you have, you know, like, on a roller coaster or at some carnival or something, you're on a ride and it, like, malfunctions, and it almost reminded me, this, I know this sounds like a cheap point, but it is one of the things that popped in my head, like a real-life situation, like Final Destination. Remember the movie Final Destination, and there are 83 different parts to it? That's what that reminded me of. This just solidifies something I've had in my head for a long time, which is, I've never been a roller coaster guy, I've never been a carnival guy, it's just not my thing. Now I'm like 100%, never, don't come to me talking about that, don't mention it, not remotely interested, don't, just stop, don't, if you're thinking about asking, hey, you want to go on the roller coaster, you want to go to the carnival, no. Now I get it, statistics, you know, hey, this is one in fucking a million thing. Yeah, but if you're that guy, you're that person that happens to get on the ride where that happens, then you're like, ugh, what was I thinking? This is a machine that's built by men. Men are by no means perfect. We're massively fallible. Human beings built this. You know, what happens if the person who's supposed to be the regulator who checks it to make sure it's safe, he's having a bad day, he had a fight with his wife, and then some shit breaks down? What happens if there was just a little malfunction, they put the wrong size screw in two different parts, and then boom, that part wiggles loose after 3 years of use. It held on for a while, but it didn't hold on much longer. It fell off, and then something like that happens. Fuck that, man. Fuck that. There's some things I just can't get through my head why people would like it. And I know people out there are different than me, and that's fine. But, like, one of those things is, like, you know, the animal chaser things? Like, you know, like Steve Irwin, that guy, and all the people who are, like, in the wild, fucking crawling. We're near the Komodo dragon, and the Komodo dragon is known for having a bite that has venom that will kill you in 18 seconds. Like, I don't know why anybody is doing that shit, and I don't fucking get roller coasters and carnival rides and shit. Like, woo, I'm in the air going really fast, woo! To each their own, but damn, man, this is heartbreaking that this shit happened. Man, this is fucking devastating. I hate them. I hate carnivals. I hate roller coasters. I hate all these rides. I don't get the fucking point of it. And I just feel horrible for all these people who, in a freak accident, are now really injured or dead because of stuff like this. All right, guys. I'm out of time. I love you. And we'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place, baby. Mwah. Big kisses. Peace.